I can trust this.
That's right.
God has sworn it. Jesus said, heaven and earth pass away, my word won't.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, you can sit on it, stand on it, talk it, believe it, and live it.
The truths of the Bible have stood firm for over 5,000 years. Today, Kenneth Copeland and special guest David Barton bring a message on applying your faith and trust to God's Word. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Welcome, everybody, to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, thank you, sir. We praise you and thank you for this broadcast. We pray for the people in the sound of our voices today, all over the world, that you fill our hearts with light concerning what you did when you raised Jesus from the dead and how that changes our lives on this earth forever. We praise you for it. We thank you for it today. And we give you all of the glory for every word of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you welcome again today Brother David Barton to this broadcast? David,
hey, Ken.
Let's for just one moment here. Last week, we talked about putting the Word of God absolutely first place in your life. Mm-hmm. If you think one thing, somebody else said something else, but the Bible said this, then this is always
right. That's
final
word. That's final authority. That's
final authority in my life.
Every time, even now, over my thoughts.
And God said, make your choice. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose life. Mm-hmm. Choose God. Choose my word. Choose my way of doing. Now, then earnestly pray, thy will be done on this earth in my life as it is in heaven. God's plan. God has a plan for me, and it's a whole lot better than anything that I could plan up. Now, yesterday we talked about the renewing of the mind, beginning to think like God thinks. Now, without the Word, you can't do that.
No.
This is the only thing you can trust. You can't really trust books that I've written or anybody else has written about the Word.
That's right.
If you don't
you
go to the Word
right.
first. Quote this.
That's
don't
right.
quote me or you or anybody else. Mm-hmm. Quote this. Now, then obey it. Be a doer of the work. Be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can prove it out in your life. And when you prove the will of God, you cannot... God's will, actually, if you go back to the perfect will of God, it was the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
I mean, He created that. And that's where He put the man that He created. That was the perfect will of God for all men for all time. And that's what we're supposed to be living in today.
Yeah.
So if that's His perfect will, then He's got a better plan than I've got.
Yeah.
And I need to know what that plan is. And it is to my benefit to renew my thinking to the way He thinks.
You know, one of the things we were even talking about yesterday was on thinking. So much of it is not just reading, it's meditating on it. Because you can read it just like you read a newspaper. And that doesn't edify you any more than reading the Bible does. Neither one of them will edify you if you don't digest what's in there. And that's that meditation process, that sitting down and applying my brain. And it's asking questions. I mean, it really is asking a lot of... Now, why did He say that? Who did He say it to? How come He didn't say it this way? What is that? Why did He use that word instead? If you don't start asking all those questions, you'll never digest it. It's like biting off a big chunk of steak and swallowing it whole. Doesn't do any good. You got to chew on it. You got to chew and chew. It's like a cow chews its cud. It keeps going back over and over. That's what digestion is. That's what it allows it to be strong. That's what we got to do with this. It's not how much we read, it's not how fast we read, and it's not the fact that it's God's Word. Satan reads God's Word. He quoted it to Jesus in Matthew 4. It doesn't mean anything. If you don't digest it, if you don't take it in and meditate on it, it doesn't have the impact. And that's where sometimes we flat have to slow down and say, no, wait a minute, I got to go back over there. I got over the verse again. When we started our particular organization, Wall Builders, the Lord had me read the entire book of Nehemiah, all 13 chapters, 1 through 13, every day for 6 straight months. Now, I went through about 3 weeks and said, come on, Lord, I read it yesterday. I know it's in chapter 1 and 2. And after about 4 weeks, I started seeing stuff.
Yeah.
I started seeing how Nehemiah handled the media.
Yeah.
I started seeing how Nehemiah started building organizations within the city.
You didn't even know that was in there the other time that you'd been reading it.
I've already read it 20 times, 25 times. On the 26th or 27th, 28th, it started making application, started getting down and actually making sense. And so that's what it takes. There's a verse that I'm struck with that goes back to, really back to the Reformation time as a real emphasis. When you look at the Reformation, and we talked last week, that's the time really when people started saying, we got to get the Bible back to the center of our life. We went through 12 centuries of the Bible being put up so that people didn't have access. Now it's coming back and it's a brand new book to them. And they're just thinking about it and saying, boy, that's not the way we've done it. And that Geneva Bible we talked about, mm-hmm. how that they took and challenged the culture, said, now we've been doing it 1,200 years, but that's not right. Here's the right way. And so, and that's a hard thing for people to give up their customs and give up what they've done their whole life just because they see a verse that says something different. And, you know, it's hard to let go of yourself. But there's a passage in Romans 1, 18 and 19, and actually up through 20, 18 through 20, that was really significant in those 500 years, and it's actually written in some of our founding documents. Here's the passage. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who should hold the truth in unrighteousness. He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Now here's the big verse. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, what's significant about that is he said, look, there's all these wicked people over there. They're taking the truth. They're holding unrighteousness. They don't. But God has shown them what's true. He's manifested. And here's where it really gets interesting. Because he says, even the invisible things of the Godhead. Now, Godhead's always been a really difficult doctrine for 2,000 years for a whole lot of the world and the church. How can three be one and one be three? And how's God divided? And how can they all be divine? He says, even that, something as difficult as a doctrine of the Godhead, he said, you don't need the Scriptures to understand that. He said it's been revealed through what He created. Now, their belief was, God revealed everything you need to know about Him, including intricate doctrines like the Godhead, and you don't need this to know it. You can put this away because He revealed it through creation. That's where people say, well, what's going to happen to those pagans who never heard about Jesus? That's not fair that He would send them to hell. He says, no, He said, even the heathen, no, it's without excuse. And that's where we got into this thing that the Founding Fathers started teaching, and really the first kind of English guy to bring this into our system was in 1766, a guy named Judge William Blackstone. He wrote what were called Blackstone's Commentaries. They became the basis of law. And he says, God's got two revelations, one through what He's created and one through the Word. He said they never contradict each other. One is the laws of God. One is the laws of nature. You got the laws of nature because God created nature. Mm-hmm. That's nature's God. And so using that, the Founding Fathers called it natural law. In the Declaration, we say the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God. That comes out of Romans 1, 18 to 20.
Well, let me ask you this then. Here are the natural laws of the material universe.
Yep.
And they don't break their own laws.
They don't break their own laws.
Because when the law, sin breaks it down.
That's right.
You get a concentration of sin, and it begins to break, it breaks the earth. It causes upheavals and that kind of thing. But now here you've got the natural laws of God and God revealed in those. Here you have the authority of God.
That's right.
And actually, here is, he said, subdue the earth and have dominion over it.
That's right.
These are the laws of dominion, aren't they?
That they are. They are. And see, this is a distinction they made. They said, you know, we used to know all of this before we had the scripture because we were in relationship with him. Sin entered, and when sin entered, it clouded our minds. We don't think right anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And once sin clouded our minds, then God was gracious to us and said, okay, I told you the first time, let me make it easy for you. Since you're all goofed up in your thinking, I'm just going to write it down for you. And so this is there's nothing here that contradicts anything he did in creation, but this makes it easier because our sin nature gets in our way all the time. And we're living in the wrong kingdom half the time. Shouldn't be, but we are. And I've taken that passage and started thinking, now, wait a minute. If what I see in here is revealed in creation, can I prove that? And I took an example. I said, you know, with me being in the political arena as much as I am, one of the things I absolutely firmly believe is that if I know where any candidate is on the issue of abortion with 95% accuracy, I can tell you where they are on everything else. If I look at a U.S. Senate candidate and find out where he is on the abortion issue, I will tell you where he is on the U.N. Convention on the Rights of the Child. I will tell you where he is on bailouts and economic spending. I will tell you where he is on the capital gains tax. I will tell you where he is on military might. If I know where he is on life, with a 95% accuracy, I can tell you where he is on everything else. And I can even prove that by voting records. It's real simple. So if I want to know how a guy is going to do anything, I look at the life issue first. And that's real simple. So abortion's a big deal. All these passages that we have in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, God hates abortion. I close my Bible. What proves to me that God hates abortion if I don't have the Bible? And I thought, you know, there is nothing anywhere in the natural world that kills its young while it's still in the womb. I don't care if you believe in evolution. You don't believe in God? Great. Even in the evolutionary process, there's nothing that kills a young while it's still in the womb. That's a violation of even evolutionary
process.
No,
it gives its life to protect it.
It gives its life to protect it. It does not take life. I do not need the Bible to tell me abortion is wrong. If I'll use my brain that God gave me, if I'll meditate, he said, through what I've created, I've shown you everything, including the Godhead. The problem we have is we live in a microchip society. We do everything in 10, 15 second increments. We don't sit down. I love the scripture where it says, be still and know that I'm God. Well, it starts with being still. You got to shut it down for a bit and you got to be. Country folk used to be able to do that. You know, a farmer would sit down on top of a rock and just look around and just look at everything and watch the birds and watch how the ants moved on the ground. And that's why the scripture says, go to the ant, sluggard. All you had to do, you don't need the scripture to tell you tells you you're supposed to have a savings account. It says the ant stores up his provision. He always knows there's a winter coming and he's always got some stuff set back.
So does a squirrel.
That's right. Not him. Yeah. I don't need the Bible to tell me I need a savings account. So we used to be able, but in the city, a lot of times, we've got so many red traffic lights, and we're on the time, and we don't be still and know that he's God. We don't meditate on that. And I did the same thing, said, all right, I can prove abortion's wrong without the scripture. How about homosexuality? Same thing. That's not part of nature. It does occur in nature, but it's always an aberration. It is not normal in nature. There's no species that practices homosexuality because you won't be a species if you do. I mean, I don't care if you believe in evolution. It's against evolutionary law. It doesn't happen. So why are we doing it over here? You know, it's not in his revealed word. It's not in his created message. But we get into this thing of, well, you know, we need to be compassionate. Well, great, be compassionate. God loves every person. That doesn't mean I tolerate the behavior. Now, I can be compassionate towards someone who commits murder, but that doesn't mean I approve the behavior. And that's where the church has really gotten messed up. They don't think biblically. They hear too much of the New York Times and too much of the LA Times and too much Washington Post. And everybody needs it. Go back to creation. Go back to the scriptures. Conform your thinking to what you see in those two areas. And you don't have to be shaped by this area. And that's on economic stuff. Credit cards, that's just a hard thing to find justification going into debt. In creation or in the natural or in God's revealed work. It won't happen. But the average American's $13,000 in debt on a credit card. We're not thinking right. You know, there's no biblical justification. There's no created justification. Think right. And that goes to what you started out with, that Romans, don't be conformed to the world. Only way you're not going to be is if you sit down and think about this. Meditate on it, chew on it, digest it, go over and over and over and just think. It's a significant thing.
When Gloria and I first began to learn these things, we didn't have anything. We needed everything. I mean, from the very basic things when we started out learning these things.
Yeah.
And one of the first things that came as a contradiction to what I had always thought, being raised in church and in that environment, this is just, basically rebellious kid anyway, mm-hmm. in my thinking towards it. But the thing that crossed up here right at the very outset was this. Instead of thinking that God is trying to keep me from having anything, He's doing His best to get me out of
That's right.
And get me over here where I can have everything without being tied to that.
Life abundantly without all the strings.
Yeah, Jesus just said it very simply and very plainly. He separated the two kingdoms with very few words. He said, the thief cometh but for to steal.
That's right.
Now, if you're having trouble with the devil, it's because you've got something that he wants to steal. Otherwise, hey, he ain't gonna mess with you.
Yeah.
He only comes to steal. He put the stealing first, not the killing.
Yep.
To steal, to kill, and to destroy. If he can steal the word, he can kill the blessing of God, which will destroy you because you will look to that, to his system to get your needs met.
That's right.
And now he's got you by the nose. He can wring it any direction
he wants
to wring it. So, and give God the blame for you not having anything.
Yep.
But Jesus said, I came so that you have life.
Yep.
And have it more abundantly. That's the purpose for this whole thing, is to get you separate from that system so you're not tied to its sickness, you're not tied to its disease, you're not tied to its curse financially, all of that. You are released into the kingdom of God.
Well, it's the verse you read yesterday in Colossians 1, 12, and 13. We've been translated out of that kingdom into a different kingdom.
You're a citizen over here.
Once your citizenship says, you know what? I'm a citizen of the United States. And guess what? The government of Canada, the government of South Africa, the government of England doesn't have any say over me because I'm not a citizen of their country. I'm a citizen of the United States. Well, get your citizenship transferred in the kingdom of God and out of the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah.
Get that citizenship out. You can't be in both worlds. That's a verse you talked about yesterday. You can't be in dual citizenship. You're going to be pulled in two directions. You get some trouble with that. Get your citizenship in God's kingdom, and then the citizenship in the kingdom of darkness, they got no say over what you do, no say over you, your life, your authority. It's gone. It's a real simple thing.
You've got a real problem. Let's say you got a dual citizenship here. You got a passport in one country and a passport in another country. Now, what if those two countries
go to war? Exactly.
You got a real problem.
You got a real problem.
I mean, what are you going to do here? That's what's happening with people that have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and became citizens of the household of faith, translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, but they hang on to the passport had out of that other country, and they're at war.
And it still gives that country jurisdiction over them because their passport's with that country, and therefore they have a legal authority to mess with you because you're still their citizen, and you can't have that dual citizenship.
Get out! The Word said, come out from among them and be separate. You have nothing in common with that anymore.
Yeah.
But you got to change your thinking. And in order to do it, the only thing you can trust is what the Word of the living God said. And the reason it is so vitally important that it be in the form of two blood covenants, which means this was and is a sworn oath by God. Yeah. One in the blood of animals, but then in the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
So you can depend on it.
Blood oath.
Yeah. It didn't make it any more true.
No.
But it settled it and anchored it for you
for
and
us.
Me.
That's right.
So I can trust this.
That's right.
God has sworn it. Jesus said, heaven and earth pass away. My word won't.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, you can sit on it, stand on it, talk it, believe it, and live it.
5,000 years of science has proved that to be right every time.
Yeah.
Every time it comes up, science in the Bible, you watch. Science, even if it appears to contradict, it'll always be proved wrong later. Bible stands every time to every challenge
yes.
over 5,000 years.
Yes. Always has.
Always has. Always will.
And now the greatest scientists on earth have banded together and said, we begin with this.
That's right.
In its original language, and we accept that as the truth, and then we stay with our science until we come
That's
to
right.
that. And he said, man, alive, the
what
things that have
That's
been
right.
discovered since they've been doing that.
That's right.
It's been just
That's
phenomenal.
Right.
Praise God. Man, we out of time again. Wow. Praise the Lord. This is so vital, David. This is where we are right now.
Yeah.
We're there as a nation. God set this nation up according to His thinking.
Yeah.
And now it's run its collision course until it has hit the wall. It isn't going on any further
mm-hmm.
under those on that other system. I'll tell you something else. The other nations of the world are not either.
Yeah.
They're imploding, and none of them know what to do with it except the idea, oh, let's just be all one big government. You ain't never had any problems till you get to be all one big
and
government.
And there's no biblical precedent or precedent in nature for that.
No.
All the animals don't get together and live in a happy kingdom.
They do not.
Here's the gorillas over here and the animals over here and the tiger. It's all different.
No.
It's going to be that way.
It ain't going to work that
it's
way.
It's not going to work.
No. There's only one man ever had the authority or the anointing to rule the world.
And the guy who made the world can rule the world.
Only one can do that. All things were made by and for
him. Yeah. That's right.
Praise God. Brother David and I'll be back in just a moment.
We the believers must shape our future. But why look back? God said, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Now more than ever, it's crucial to know what saves a nation. God's Word produced America's success for centuries.
If we can understand American exceptionalism, understand why we are prosperous and free and stable, we can go back and protect those seeds that have caused us to be a different nation.
Join David Barton in Building on the American Heritage. You'll be engaged as he unveils the truth of America's past.
You just blew another paradigm because you said the very purpose of education is so you could study the Word of God to hold your leaders
That's right.
accountable.
His extensive breakdown will give you clarity on what God expects of government, the church, and the individual so you can enforce a better tomorrow.
Jesus said, hey, you're salt. You're the thing that preserves this. Well, guess what? If we pull ourselves out of the civil arena, we pull the preservative out. Mm. It's going to get rotten real quick.
It's your duty. You were raised for such a time as this. Order Building on the American Heritage series today for just $59.95, a savings of 25%. Join David Barton and discover the Founding Fathers' biblical intent. This clarity will empower you to act wherever you are. And when you act, the people will once again rejoice. Discover the truth and make a stand. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order online. Or call toll-free 800-600-7395. For this and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
You really do need to get this and spend some time studying the 6 DVDs in American Heritage Series. What did all of the Founding Fathers think? Not just the 4 or 5 that you see in the famous picture, but all of that other 50 sitting around the room, the people that came together to form the greatest nation that the earth has ever seen. And they formed this nation with the purpose of loving and worshiping God. And that makes it unique from every other
That's
nation
right.
that was ever formed.
That's right.
And don't you ever think God would forget that.
That's right.
Not ever. But what did all of them think? You need a summation of the ideas and the thinking and why they were doing it, to know these facts. They're facts. It's been available all this whole 200 plus years, but it's been put together where we can get a hold of it. David has really done an outstanding job with this. And if you're anything like me, you just can't hardly wait to get your hands on it, praise God, and spend time with God and spend time praying over these things and open the eyes of our understanding so you can help other people in your church and so forth understand why this is so critical and why we need to be voting correctly and praying for the nation correctly and knowing what to do there. This is a praying ministry. We began the very early days, the first person that we ever brought into this ministry staff was a prayer person that prayed all day, every day. We have a prayer staff set up 24 hours a day so that you can call. And these are not some people off somewhere else. No, they're right here on this property, trained. They know how to pray. They know how to minister to you. David, we took over 1 million calls last year.
Wow.
And the results, the praise results out of that has been, the reports have been over the top. So take advantage of that. This ministry is here for you. And you need to know that these things are available. I'll tell you what, it's a good thing that you were with us today on this broadcast. So don't miss tomorrow. Until then, Kenneth Copeland, David Barton, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. The Branson Victory Campaign with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, the 8th through 10th of March, 2012, at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Living Victory West Coast Faith Encounter, April 13th and 14th with Kenneth Copeland, hosted by Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Anaheim in Anaheim, California. The European Victory Campaign, celebrate 30 years in Europe with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, May 10th through 12th at the Excel Center in London, UK. Living Victory Pacific Rim Faith Encounter, June 15th and 16th at Word of Life Church in Honolulu, Hawaii. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
You need to be what God has called you to be, what He graced you to be, what He put in you to be, what you were born to be.